So you co-directed it.
I did. It's my husband, Stephen Smith's idea. He spent a lot of time up in the Arctic. He's been going up there since the late 70s, and he got this idea for this film. And as soon as he told me, I'm like, yes, I'm going to take part.
Now, what does he do?
He's had a very varied life. He started off as a wildlife biologist. His passion was climbing mountains and going to unknown places. So he was a sought-after wildlife biologist because he could, you know, scale cliffs and check out, you know, where seabirds are nesting. So he spent a lot of time in the Arctic studying nesting seabirds. And one thing led to another, and he ended up starting a small little tourist company and bringing people to some of these really far-off places. And then he started getting involved with films and then making his own films. So this will be his third feature documentary.
So this one, Beneath the Polar Sun, you say it was his idea. How did that come about, and what was he thinking? What was the idea for the film?
Well, Steve had been working on this boat that was traveling through the Northwest Passage, and on that boat, he realized that even though he was on this boat and they were surrounded by sea ice everywhere, even these passengers who had chosen to go to the Arctic really knew nothing about sea ice. They didn't really know the difference between, say, sea ice and glacial ice, or why sea ice was important. So might as well say it right here. Sea ice is white. And when the sun hits white sea ice, most of that energy is reflected back to space. Something like 93% of it's reflected back to space. But when that sea ice is gone and there's dark ocean, that same energy, 93% of it, is absorbed by the ocean. So basically, the Arctic Ocean and the snow and ice in the Arctic region are acting like a cooling system for our planet. So what we wanted to do with this film is, we're always hearing about global warming and carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. But, I mean, what is carbon dioxide? It's hard to even imagine. But white sea ice reflecting sunlight back to space is something that's really tangible. It's something that even I can understand.
And if that ice disappears, and the ocean is dark, and the heat, instead of being reflected away, is absorbed, so we have a problem.
We do have a problem. And, you know, I'm not the scientist. I'm just the director of this film. But what I've learned through making this film and through reading a lot of scientific articles is that a lot of the extreme weather events we're having right now are related to loss of sea ice and snow in the Arctic. Because when the Arctic Ocean is warmer, it changes things like jet streams and all kinds of stuff.
Now tell me a bit about the film itself, the conception, and what you were trying to make, because I understand it kind of didn't work out exactly the way you thought it would.
When we came up with this project, what we thought we would do is go up to, there's five of us, go up to this area called the Last Ice Area. And this is an area of the Arctic Ocean that almost no one goes to. And we wanted to see the last ice in the last ice area. This is the area where the last of the massive ice flows are supposed to be. So we found a young scientist, someone who had just gotten his PhD from Harvard, and we took him along with two other support staff with us, and we were going up there to take measurements and look and study these massive ice flows. And when I say massive, I mean ice flows the size of Manhattan, big ice flows. When we get there, there's nothing like that in sight. It's just a crush of ice. It's like a mumble jumbo. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, you know, you can have a drink with a few big ice cubes, or you can put it through the blender and come out with a slushy. And we were kind of in a slushy, and there's no way of navigating in a slushy.
And you were planning to kayak a certain distance, right?
Yeah, 13 years before, Steve had retraced this journey from the 1800s in kayaks. And he thought, well, I did it 13 years ago. I can do it now. But conditions had changed so dramatically that there was absolutely no way of doing that.
So were you at any point thinking, we're not going to get out of here?
Oh, there were so many times that we thought we weren't going to get out of here. But the good news is, about 60 miles from where we started, there was a place that planes had landed before. Like, I don't want to say there was an airstrip, but planes had landed there maybe 10, 20, 30 years before. And eventually we got to this place, and we got a plane to come and pick us up.
So you've ended up with a film about how the trip you wanted to take never happened, but you ended up with something else.
What we ended up with was truly a remarkable discovery. It's that this area that they call the Last Ice Area really didn't have these massive flows that people thought were up there. So, you know, we could have gone and had a regular scientific journey and measured stuff and come back with our reports, but instead we came back with a really sort of horrific new discovery.
What would you like people to take away from seeing this film?
I think that what we would like people to take home is to learn that the Earth has a cooling system. And also, Steve's always saying, if you're on a spaceship and one of the systems that keeps your ship functioning starts to break down, are you going to do something about it? Well, the answer is yes. And I think learning about these natural systems that help keep the Earth cool gives an impetus for wanting to actually do something.
Let's do a little information about the movie itself, when it's going to be shown and what time and how people can see it.
All right. Well, Beneath the Polar Sun is having its U.S. premiere at the Rhode Island International Film Festival. It's going to be screened live on Monday at the Musquamicket Drive-In. There's a little bit of environmental irony there. It's also going to be available to screen online for free for about a week through the Rhode Island International Film Festival.
And so that would be available on the International Film Festival website.
Yep, RIIFF.
Well, Diana Kushner, thank you so much for talking to us about this film. Can't wait to see it.
Thank you, Chuck, very much.